Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Joe Reeves, with Inverse.
Welcome to Inverse. We're glad that you're joining us this week as we study the Bible together this season on the closing scenes of Christ's life. And we are at this table with my friends and your friends. I have here again today, Jemima joining us, teaching us. Thank you, as well as Sharonette.
Thank you.
And Sebastian.
Aloha.
We are glad to be together and that you are with us this week. You know, like every week, we get feedback from people like you, the viewers, our friends on the other sides of the screen. Is it against the rules if I read? I was on YouTube.
I have your
absolutely.
Amen. So blessed by this ministry. Three hearts.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yes. These are people watching Inverse. They're with us. A nice way to get the day started.
Aww.
Wow. I'm glad we can start the day with you.
That's nice.
Absolutely.
We have lots of good friends that we make on Inverse digitally, and sometimes we even get to meet you when you're traveling and things like that. And so we're going to unpack another amazing chapter from the Bible in these last closing scenes of Christ's life, these last moments with his disciple. Will be in John 15 today. And we're glad that you're here. We're going to open up with prayer so that the Holy Spirit can bless us, Sharonette.
Mm-hmm. Dear Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to study the word together. And we just ask that your presence be with us now, that you will enter into our hearts, our minds, and that you'll give us the right words, the right thoughts as we study your word. May you abide in us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sebastian, can you read the parable to us from John 15?
Yes.
1-8.
Sure. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for reading the word. That's powerful. And we love to listen to the words of Jesus on Inverse and to dissect and to know what it means. So help us out, Jem. What is Jesus getting at with these words to his disciples here?
You know, Joe, it's just 8 verses, but they are so dense and rich. I remember I had to give a Bible study and I was literally just looking at the first verse. I am the true vine. What does that even mean? Mm. That means there is a false vine, right?
Yes.
Anyway, so so many questions.
That's right.
And I could go in so many different directions, but I'll make my answer succinct.
You can have the rest of the program.
Thank you very much. You're all dismissed.
She's the leader.
I have a Bible study by myself and with my friends, of course. Jesus here is trying to change the mindset of the disciples before he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And he is telling them the few last words of what they would need to do in order to basically survive without him, which is abide with him, stay with him, remain with him. Right. And then he gives the parable here of the vine. Right. Mm-hmm. There are so many trees that are mentioned in the Bible. You know, there's the cedar tree, there is the oak tree, there is the
terebinth tree.
Yes, the terebinth tree. Which one's the one that Jesus cursed?
Mulberry.
No,
fig tree.
The fig tree. There's the fig tree.
Didn't bear fruit.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, why a vine and a branch? You know, why the vine, right? But because the vine and how it grows, it doesn't grow independently, right? Mm. The vines depend on the branch. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, in order for you to be successful in this life, in your spiritual walk, you have to remain in me. You have to be attached to the branch. You can't be strong and independent like the oak tree. You can't be like the palm tree that's beat by the waves and still stand strong. No, you need to be like the vine, entwined and connected to me. And in this way, you will bear fruit and glorify the Father.
Very, very dependent.
Yes.
Amen.
I see. Very anti-feminist, very independent woman type stuff.
This,
I see.
This lesson is really, you know, coming to the core. It's just for me. It's meant for me. And for my recovering feminist or feminist out there, I'm sure you all can relate to this, you know. So
notice ING, recovering, right?
Yes, have not recovered. It's a process.
It is.
I want to also highlight the idea of the Father as the vine dresser.
Yeah.
So what's crazy is what she talked about, right? The vine, there's a false vine. And the idea that you have to remain connected to something, and I'll probably talk about that a little bit later. But the Father as the vine dresser is interesting, that Jesus and the Father, he's the vine that we need to be connected to, and the Father is the gardener. He's the one taking care of this vine. So if you're connected to Jesus, you get the same care that Jesus has. You get the same gardener. You get the same attention. But if you are disconnected from the vine, you got a different gardener. Now, if God ain't your gardener, you got to ask yourself right now, who is your gardener? It's the devil, right? So you're like, you in the wrong vine with the wrong gardener, right? There's a false vine and there's another gardener. That's tending that thing and causing that to grow. So to me, it's also intriguing to show that relationship between Jesus and the Father, to say, hey, the vine is what's giving me life and the Father is what's tending and taking care of me and making sure I grow and have what I need to expand and bear fruit because I'm connected to the vine. So it's not only that we're taking a point of dependence, but Jesus is as well. By allowing himself to be the vine when he could easily be the gardener himself.
And I just want to go back a little bit. When it says the true vine, historically, the Jewish or Israel at this time thought they were the vine, and rightfully so, because in Isaiah 5, there's another parable about God, the Father, being the vine dresser, and he planted this vine, this branch on a fruitful tree. But when he looked for it to bear,
grapes,
it bore wild grapes. So there's this mindset from the disciples that Israel itself as a nation
is the special, this is the vine.
But Jesus is saying, change of mindset. Israel themselves have rejected me, the true. They're no longer the, I am the true vine. Everything pointed to me. So as he leaves, he's trying to have their mind separate. And this kind of goes back to our conversation of nationalism and all these things, you know, you know, if God is calling you out of something, you know, are you still holding up to that? Or are you willing to, you know, change your mindset and, or allow God to change your mindset, because we can't do it on our own, and submit yourself under God's leadership.
Amen.
So in the prophetic books, the vine was a symbol of their nation. A national symbol. So when he's presenting himself as the vine, that means finding our identity in him. Our meaning, rather than just our culture or our place or our nation.
But I think we got to make this even more uncomfortable, right? Because
because it's too comfortable.
This is something that I actually struggle with, this verse. Because it actually brought me out of something that I think was corroding my marriage. And whenever you're married, you assume that there will be challenges. You assume there will be conflict, misunderstandings, right? Et cetera, et cetera. And I remember early in my marriage, I was very, very concerned about how connected I was to my wife, right? Because I traveled, because I preached, because I did different things. It's like, I want to make sure that this connection is very, very active and vibrant. But I realized that the things that my wife was going through at the time, there was only so much I could do, right? And so what started to happen was my spiritual life started to erode. And my own experience with Jesus started to basically disintegrate, because my focus was on being connected to her, not being connected to the Lord. And sometimes we focus so much on being connected and in unison with our spouse, or with our children, or with other church members or friends, that we replace Jesus with those individuals. And if something's wrong with my marriage, then I feel spiritually off. Mm. Mm-hmm. When in reality, he is the true vine. Amen. And whatever the false vine is not just, right, patriotism. It could be your country, but it can also be your spouse, your kids, anything that you're using to replace to say, where do I get life from? Mm-hmm. And if I'm not connected to this thing, I feel like I'm dying. Mm-hmm. The only answer to that should be Jesus. Mm. But even, you know, friends online, if you're watching this video, right, on whatever platform you're watching, ask yourself, is there someone that I could not bear not having a connection with, that I can't bear the separation from? Yeah. If that's the case, that's a false vine. Mm-hmm. And we have to replace that with Jesus.
Yeah.
And recognize. And the crazy thing was, when I made that shift because of this verse, my marriage completely transformed and changed. Amen.
It got so better.
Like, correct.
Yeah.
So you're like, wait, this is so weird, right? Like me not focusing on trying to be connected to her.
There was an unhealthy dependence.
Absolutely. Yes. You can become what they would call enmeshed, right? Mm-hmm. So now it's like, I can't separate myself from you. Mm-hmm. So if you're not happy, then I'm not happy because we are not happy.
And everything is dependent upon you.
Yes.
And I tell that to my clients. I ask them, like, where do you find your love, your security, and your significance?
Yeah.
Is it in your spouse? Is it in your work? Is it in your accolades, right?
Yeah.
Because when those things are taken away from you, then what do you have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was a painful shift for me.
Yeah.
And it just shows you how subtly something can replace Jesus in your life without you even realizing it. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes that's what an idol is. It's not a replacement of Christ. It's saying I have to worship Christ through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they worship God through the idol. And so I think what Jesus is hitting here is that he is the thing we must be connected to in order to experience life.
Yeah. Okay. Amen. And to do that, we have to disconnect from some other things sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That's true.
There is something else that I wanted to highlight in this verse. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, right? The emphasis here is, you know, you ask the question, okay, a lot of people may be worried about, like, how do I lose my salvation? Is it because I'm not doing the things? Is it because I'm not bearing fruit? And you notice here, you're not cast out because you're not bearing fruit, right? You're cast out because you're not abiding in Jesus. Yeah. And for me, that was just a such a strong shift in that, you know, we have the conversation about faith and works, right? You know,
all the time.
Which one, you know, but it seems here Jesus is saying the emphasis is you want to bear fruit. You want to do the works. The key is abiding in me, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You will get lost and you will lose your salvation if you're not abiding in me, if you're not staying with me. And think about it in the context that Jesus was saying in the previous episode, we're talking about, let not your heart be troubled. Tribulation was coming towards the disciples. They didn't even understand. Mm-hmm. And here Jesus is saying, abide, remain, stay with me, regardless of the circumstances that are going on. And I will ensure that you bear fruit because my Father is the vine dresser. He's the one that prunes and cuts away things that need to go.
Joe, I want to actually bring this up as well because she just mentioned the last episode, right? We talked about John 14.
Yeah.
What a contrast that Jesus says, I go, I go, I go. And then the next chapter is stay.
You're like,
wait, you want us to stay, but you go. Like, it's really interesting that this is about departure and separation.
And connection.
And connection, right?
All at the same time.
And you're like, wait, but now you're saying, stay with me. But you're leaving. Like, how is this working? So it's also a really interesting way to show that if a very casual reader, a very casual listener to Jesus, which the disciples will eventually ask those types of questions throughout this whole dialogue. It's like, you're not getting it, right? In John 14, how long have I been with you? Yeah. And you're like, show us the Father. Like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Mm. So in that very process, Jesus is highlighting the nuances of walking with him. Part of it is separation and there's a going. But part of it is also a staying.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think we just try to figure out what's the formula, what's the one thing I need to do. And Jesus keeps appending this because the moment we get a formula, we depend on the formula and not the Savior.
Mm. That's so true.
You're messing me up, Sebastian, because I was getting ready to ask the formula.
which is what we want, right? Yeah. And it's and again, right, to the closing scenes of Christ's life, imagine telling people, abide with me, stay connected to me, and I know I'm about to die. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm about to go through a period of public shaming. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's usually when everybody cuts ties, right?
Yes.
So I remember the recent big actor, Jonathan Majors, right, had this big conflict with his partner, and all of a sudden studios are cutting ties. Mm-hmm. He's out of this movie. He's out of this thing. He's out of this show. They canceled this promotion with him. And you're like, all because of this public shame that's happening. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is like, hey, even when that comes,
abide.
Stay connected.
Well. Stay connected to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which that's hard.
Yes. All right. Well, I agree with you. It's gotta be deeper. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna go ahead and share some of my formulas. I'm gonna let Sebastian shoot them down. You know, when I've in my job, I'm traveling more recently. And so I have some formulas I use for sorry to pick on your word.
That's all right.
To stay connected with my kids while I'm gone. I got young kids, you know. So I recently had a 2-week trip in Asia, all the way around the other side of the world, you know. So I'm utilizing my FaceTime so they don't forget about me, you know.
Time change.
I'm sending them pictures every day, letting them know I'm thinking of them, you know. And I'm trying to keep that connection. And yes, the time changed. I have to do it, you know, morning or early morning, late at night, you know, because it's like 12-hour difference type of thing. But I establish those routines, and I will leave a meeting early or other things because I want to stay connected with my kids.
Yes.
So in the absence of Jesus' physical presence as we are now, mm-hmm. what does this mean practically to abide in Christ? Mm. Like, are there formulas? We know we need to go deeper than that. Are there routines? Are there, mm-hmm. what does this involve to abide in Christ and remain in him and stay connected, even though I can't see him? Hmm. What do you think?
Oof, well, I mean, for me, the obvious thing.
You're not allowed to answer. I was asking the ladies.
There's no formula. So I to answer your question is, again, the tension, right? Is Bible study and prayer mm-hmm. can become formulaic.
Yes. Yeah, that's
right?
true.
It can become a formula, mm-hmm. but it is a way that we stay connected to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is through personal devotional and worship time with him. Mm-hmm. I think what makes that non-formulaic is that it is truly relationship. Mm-hmm. And I often tell people when it comes to studying the Bible, I'm like, study the portions of the Bible that relate to your everyday life. Mm-hmm. Something you're going to deal with today. Mm-hmm. Don't study the Bible because you're like, I'm going through Isaiah and I'm not, you know, telling anybody, right? Online, friends online. If you, that's how you study, praise God, get in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. But in general, for most people, relevance is important.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And actions prepare you for learning. Mm-hmm. So if you're married, you're like, all right, I need to be studying Isaac and Rebecca. I need to be looking at Abraham and Sarah's relationship, right? If I'm dealing with infertility, look at Hannah's story, right? If I'm dealing with struggles in my ministry, look at Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. If I'm dealing with training and discipling young people or people in my church, look at the Gospels mm-hmm. and how did Jesus mentor them? Because every single thing I study and read is going to have immediate relevance and practical application. Mm-hmm. So I think bringing your everyday life into Scripture and what you're studying and choosing passages that relate to that mm-hmm. help you to feel like you're staying connected to Jesus mm-hmm. even while we are waiting his return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I was thinking about, you know, it's really sweet what you were doing with your children and like being very intentional. And I'm thinking that's how God the Father is, mm-hmm. you know, like he's put so many things around us to kind of draw us to him, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's relationship, whether it's nature, whether it's whatever. And I was thinking like the mindset that I have, well, when studying the Bible is any text, I'm thinking, okay, God, why is it that you put this in here? You know, mm-hmm. what is the reason? What can mm-hmm. I learn more about it? I used to love romantic, you know, movies when I was young and, you know, people would like write letters. And then when the person was away, they would read the letter and like, you know, they'll try to imagine. And I'm thinking this is essentially what God has given letters. Us, you know, letters 100%. Of like, you know, let me tell you the story of what happened with Hannah, you know, what can I learn from that? You know, what is it that you're trying to reveal about yourself in this? And I also do enjoy spending time with people that are partaking in spiritual activities. I think that is very, very important to stay connected because you learn a lot, you know, like the Bible study we're having here with these friends and then you all online. We learn a lot from each other and it is encouraging to be in a community of people that believe.
Amen. For me, I think the way it's practical, I actually prefer going out in nature and just looking at nature and just being present in nature and seeing how God created nature, you know, because it's so busy. The hustle and bustle of life makes you forget and you're just going through the motions. And so I think being in nature and there are times I just, you know, stare at it. And I don't even try to like pray it out or anything. I'm just like staring like, wow, you know, just the beauty of it. And also music for me as a musician, like that to me is something I can connect with God. And God has inspired me to write songs as a relate to the troubles and trials that had happened in my life and how God came through for me.
All right. So, you should sing us a song.
That's right. Our new inverse jingle.
Yeah. Our next intro. Yeah.
You know, that's Joe, powerful. One thing I was also going to add is prayer. Yeah. When I drive, when I do anything, I'm constantly talking to God. And for me, I call him Abba. That's how I relate to him. Mm-hmm. So when I'm talking in that way, like when I pray, I don't say that. But when it's just me and him, that's how I speak to him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's for me, I'll point out funny things. I'll point out temptations. Mm. I'll point out things that I'm like, man, Lord, I'm really upset about this. And I'm having the conversation of opening my heart to God as to a friend. This is why I'm upset. This is why it bothers me. Or I feel like I shouldn't have this emotion. And one of the things that has come through that type of exercise for me in praying and staying connected to Jesus is there's a sense that when experiences come and conversations happen and interactions kind of through the course of human events, I can trace back things of him speaking back to me through these moments. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of crazy because I was just having this conversation with God 20 minutes ago. And then a person just comes out and says something they don't even realize the context of where the conversation he and I are having. And so I think prayer is a really, really important aspect of staying connected to him, which he eventually brings up in John 15, right? As he goes forward and talks about answering your prayers, because when you look in John 15 and he's talking about, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask in verse 7, what you desire and it shall be done for you.
There you go.
So there's abiding and then there's clearly a connection with prayer in that experience of staying connected.
The asking part, right?
Now,
100%.
Amen. Now, if we were to look at the following verse, starting in verse 9, Jesus kind of describes this abiding himself. And I hate to concede it, but he does it in relational terms, not formulaic terms. And that is exactly the heart of what Jesus is at here. In verse 9, John 15, verse 9, he describes this abiding. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my
love.
Love. That's the word. That's the key word. That's if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I mean, three times, abide in the love, abide in my love, abide in his love. And so, and that's how Jesus endured the hostility, the opposition, the ridicule, the everything that he, the hatred, because when he was baptized, you know, that was the beginning, that was the inauguration of his ministry. And not a lot was said, but when he heard the words, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's all he needed to know. I belong to him. He's my father. He loves me. And being anchored in the Father's love pulled Jesus through every crazy situation that we read about in the Gospels. And so it calls to me beyond all of the spiritual disciplines to be daily anchored in God's love. Because when I know for sure, when I know for sure that God loves me and I believe that God loves me and I embrace that, anything can happen to me. It's okay. I'm going to be all right because God loves me. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think the struggle to that, right, is some people struggle to get to that place, to mm-hmm. accept that truth. I think it's one of the hardest things ever in my ministry that I've ever had to work on is trying to help a person believe that God loves them hmm. or to accept it. And I believe, you know, she's the resident expert, you know, in terms of the mental health stuff. But in ministry, mm-hmm. right, for me, it's been 20 something years that I've been doing that. And you sit down with people and realize that they're saying to themselves, if my mom abandoned me, hmm. you know, it's they've interpreted and internalized within themselves that there's no one else who can love me. Mm-hmm. Because if this person gave me life, brought me into this world, right? If my dad, you know, was there and then he wasn't, wants no contact, wants nothing to do with me, mm-hmm. it's hard to accept that God can. Mm-hmm. Because the person who I feel like was supposed to mm-hmm. and had the easiest, most simplest motivation to love me didn't. And so you can think about in our lives that a lot of times the blockers for the love of God are human neglects yeah. and human places and relationships in our lives where we are not loved, where we don't feel desired.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, Sebastian, that's so true. But God, we can also be the people that bring others back to God's love.
Yes.
So we can be the barriers that push them away, that make it so hard, mm-hmm. as you just described,
yep.
but we can also be the one that draws them to God's love. Amen. I was sitting at a kitchen table some years ago, and this man hadn't been in church in years, and he'd been disfellowshipped from the church 35 years before.
Oh,
and
wow.
so I knew I was mm-hmm. braced for hearing about what the church had done to him, and I did hear a little bit about it. But as I continue listening to his story, I realized how much guilt he was suffering mm. because he'd made some real mistakes. And I just listened to him. And then I heard him say, you know, that he prayed that God would help him quit the alcohol a year before. And he gave it up. And I said, Richard, what happened? God helped you overcome alcohol. Do you know how many people struggle with that?
Yeah.
That means that God loves you. Mm-hmm. That means that God is listening to your prayers. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I guess you're right. And I'm just listening to his story and yeah. reinforcing it in his mind. And then I read Psalm 51 to him. And he says, is this really for me? Because it's a promise of God's forgiveness. Oh, no, forgiveness is for everybody else. Mm-hmm. I said, no, it's for you. Yeah. And I tell him the story of David. Yeah. And then I'm at the kitchen table and he just begins to sob and to mm-hmm. bawl. Because he realizes that God's forgiveness wow. is for him.
Amen. Yeah.
So this
Amen.
Is the essential question for all of us mm-hmm. is, do we accept God's forgiveness? Mm-hmm. That it's really for me? Do we really embrace that and believe that, yes, God loves me and he died for me? If we can be anchored in that truth, then we can endure any kind of hardship, trial, persecution, whatever it be. So you could continue journeying with us right here on Inverse as we continue studying the closing scenes of Christ's life, learning these lessons that he taught his disciples so that they could go through the storms and that we can also. Whatever your situation is, give it to God and trust him. We'll see you next week right here on Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a dynamic Bible-based conversation led by your host, Joe Reeves. Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram. While there, join us, like us, heart us, give us a thumbs up. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Until next time, this is Inverse.